ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट 14 एंड 15। सो विल बी रिसाइटिंग टेक्स्ट 15। स्वयं एवात्मनात्मानाम् वेत्थम तव पुरुषोत्तमम् भूतभावेन भूतेश देवदेव जगत्पते। सेशन। इंडीड यू अलोन नो योरसेल्फ बाय योर ओन इंटरनल पोटेंसी अ सुप्रीम पर्सन ओरिजिन ऑफ ऑल लॉर्ड ऑफ ऑल बीइंग्स गॉड ऑफ गॉड्स लॉर्ड ऑफ द यूनिवर्स। सो विल ऑल्सो रीड टेक्स्ट 14 एंड द ट्रांसलेशन पर्पट देन विल कम टू द पर्पट ऑफ टेक्स्ट 15। टेक्स्ट 14। सर्वमेतद्रितं मन्ये यन्मां वदसि केशव नाहिते भगवन् व्यक्तिं विदुर्देवान दानवा। ट्रांसलेशन। ओ कृष्णा, आई टोटली एक्सेप्ट एज ट्रूथ ऑल दैट यू हैव टोल्ड मी। नाइदर द डेमिगॉड्स नॉर द डीमंस ओ लॉर्ड कैन अंडरस्टैंड योर पर्सनैलिटी। पर्पट। अर्जुन हियरिन कन्फर्म्स दैट पर्सन्स ऑफ फेथलेस एंड डिमोनियक नेचर कैनॉट अंडरस्टैंड कृष्णा। He is not known even by the demigods, so what to speak of the so-called scholars of this modern world? By the grace of Supreme Lord, Arjuna has understood that Supreme Truth is Krishna and that He is a perfect one. One should therefore follow the path of Arjuna. He received the authority of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, as described in the fourth chapter, the parampara system of disciplic succession for the understanding of Bhagavad Gita was lost. And therefore Krishna re-established that disciplic succession with Arjuna because he considered Arjuna his intimate friend and a great devotee. Therefore, as stated in our introduction to Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita should be understood in the parampara system. When the parampara system was lost, Arjuna was selected to rejuvenate it. The acceptance by Arjuna of all that Krishna says should be emulated. Then we can understand the essence of Bhagavad Gita, and then only can we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnanti Mirandhasya Jnananjan Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So now we are reading chapter 10, text 14 and 15. So basically, Lord Krishna has just spoken about his glories and now Arjuna is confirming. Very interesting thing is that Arjuna is speaking all this even before seeing the Virat Roop. He hasn't seen the actual glorious form which Krishna has, which can actually be called godly in those terms. So people of this world, especially if we see other religions, their conception of God is not as perfect and as complete as what the Vedas describe, which is the personality of God. If you see Moses, the prophet of Judaism, he saw God as a fire in the bush. The fire was there, but the bush was not burning into ashes. It was still remaining and the fire was also there. Or some people say he saw the back of God. Prophet Muhammad, when he is described to see God, it was like a very dazzling effulgence. And if you see, if Gita is to be described as a book of Hindus or Sanatan Dharma, so the conception of God which it describes in the universal form is really great, because it shows all the beings, all the time, entire universe, and it's very vast, elaborate description is there. And some people actually feel that this is the highest revelation of Gita. But this is not. Because just after seeing that universal form, Krishna tells Arjuna that you please show me your beautiful human-like form. And some people may feel that this human-like form is imposing man's qualities on God. But it's the other way around. Because the qualities of God are shown in the humans to a minute degree. And even in Bible it is said that man is created in the image of God. So here, very interesting thing is coming up, that unless Arjun is saying that neither the demigods nor the demons or Lord can understand you personally. And Prabhupada is saying if demigods and demons cannot understand, what to speak of ordinary people. So we find that modern day man, it's the most important thing first of all is to convince him that God exists. Like one boy, he came to me in a college where I preach. He said, you know, what is the fastest growing religion of the world? So I was thinking like, what it is? He said, it's atheism. So it was very amusing for me, because how can a religion which has no God, a philosophy which has no God, be called as religion? But nowadays we find that there is a big plethora of books, literature of atheistic propaganda coming up in the world. We have books, people like, I don't feel like naming them, but all of you probably know. And they are propagating that God doesn't exist. And they go into very elaborate details and discussions, books, forums, websites and all. And one person, he was asked that supposing in the end of the day, after the end of your life, you actually come to know that God existed. So what will you tell God? So he said, I'll simply tell God, God, there was very less evidence, very less evidence, very less evidence of your existence. So this is their hardcore conviction. But Prabhupada very simply tells us that even if we simply see the design in the nature, we can find that there is some intelligence behind it. We have Indian Ocean here, and we find that water evaporates. Prabhupada gives a very nice description of the water cycle. He says we have water here in the sea, and there is salt mixed in it, so that this water doesn't become spoiled. Then it is distilled, the vapors evaporate, they go in clouds. So what are clouds? They are airborne water carriers. And they are plane resistant. And planes can pass through them, but they won't get punctured. And they can carry like thousands of gallons, unimaginable amount. And they go, and then they cause rain. And rainfall is there, and the rains, they come through the rivers, which are like veins, and they nourish all the land of whichever country. And then part of it is stored as snow. So Prabhupada compares it to like overhead tank, like storage tank, which throughout the year gives you water. And many times that water is also through the underground canals, the rivers, and it's also perennial. Throughout the year it exists. So he says that such is the arrangement made by God. We see that God gives us air, God gives us sunlight. And some atheist may come and say that, okay, if God has actually created, I should see it. Like we challenge atheists that if you say that there isn't God, then create life and show us from basic chemicals, which they cannot. Then they may challenge that why you should call your God and ask him to create. Let me see. So then Prabhupada answers, and I was searching for the answer for a long time, because this was one argument somebody put before me. So then Prabhupada in one conversation, he says that God has actually already created. You didn't create, your scientists didn't create, then who created? God created. He has already done so. His turn is over. Now the ball is in your court. You have to create life. So that is a thing. And many times we find people, especially in India, that although they may have some belief in God, but it's very like a social kind of belief. It's not a very strong personal conviction that motivates them to make some personal change in life. For them, God is an obligation, or God is like some social convention to go to his temple once a week, to pray to him, just as a karmakand ritual, or as a something in exchange for getting some goodwill, or so that nothing bad happens at least. This is one thing. I was speaking to some boys and I was asking them like, what is the thing which prevents you from joining Krishna consciousness? Joining Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that somebody shaves up, wears saffron and comes, but even like very good householders, exemplary householders, they're also a big asset to the movement. So my point was simply, what is the thing which is preventing you? So they said, one of them said, you know, actually we don't want to overindulge. We want to do our thing also, and we also want to maybe come once in a while for lecture, but don't tell us to chant, don't tell us to come to temple for programs. it's okay, you come to our place, okay, we'll attend. Prasadam is always welcome. That is their idea. So, I was wondering that this idea of God is like a, like one person compared it, he said, we treat God as like a spare wheel in the car. That only when there is some problem, we bring him. But actually, he should be like a steering wheel, guiding us in our life. So this is the difference which we find. And here, Arjun also says that actually it is not anyone's fault. Only by Krishna's mercy we can actually know. So, like, we also see when Krishna was present, there were people like Duryodhan who couldn't recognize him. And although Krishna partially showed his universal form, still he was like very skeptical. And even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, we have one interesting pastime. That when Mahaprabhu, he was in Jagannath Puri, at that time, there was Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. He was a head priest of the king of Odisha, and one of the most learned scholars at that time. And Mahaprabhu actually wanted to, and he belonged to the same native place as Mahaprabhu, and also had some family relationship through his maternal grandfather. So Mahaprabhu actually wanted to convert him into Vaishnavism because he was a Mayavadi, believing that God's form is, God doesn't have any form. So when Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri, he saw Lord Jagannath and he fainted in ecstasy. And somehow Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was very attracted by the beautiful form of Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu was like very tall, effulgent and young sannyasi. And he felt natural compassion, and by checking his bodily features, he could make out that this fainting was not an ordinary kind of physical disease, but a very high level of ecstasy. So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya picked him and brought him to his house, and then the party which was following Lord Chaitanya, they arrived. And one of them was a relative of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya who happened to know Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name was Gopinath Acharya. And then he tells that actually you don't know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Supreme God himself. And like we see that any big professor is always followed by his students wherever he goes. So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya had his own band of students, and they said, how you can say like this? Where in the Shastras it is written that God comes in Kali Yuga? Like that challenging was going on. And then Gopinath Acharya says, one cannot attain real knowledge of God by logical hypothesis and arguments. It is only by his mercy. Anuman pramanana hai Ishwara tattva gyane. Kripa vina ishwarera keho nahi jane. He said one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by kripa, not by anuman praman or by guesswork hypothesis. And then he says, ishwarera kripa lesha hayato yahare sahite ishwara tattva jani bare pare. If one receives a tiny bit of Lord's favor by dint of devotional service, he can understand the nature of Supreme Lord. And he quotes one verse, athapi te deva padambujo dvaye prasad leshanu grihat evahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko pichiram vichanvan. And he said, if we only get the mercy of the lotus feet of Lord, only then we can actually understand. But even if somebody study Vedas for years and years, he cannot understand if Lord doesn't have mercy. So even Brahm Samhita says, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlab Atma Bhakto. That even if somebody reads Vedas, somebody may be big scholar, he will not be able to understand Supreme Lord. So Satsaru Maharaj, one of the very early disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he described one incident. He was a part of the library party which used to distribute Prabhupada books in big libraries of USA. So he would often meet scholars who specialized in Indian philosophy, and many of them scholars of Rupa Goswami and Bhakti literature. And he would describe how they would discuss they would have some meeting and would be actually drinking, and God knows what they would be eating. And then they were discussing all the, you know, Rup Goswami has written this, and this Jeev Goswami has written this. And this literature is like something which we worship. And they would be discussing it over a glass of wine. So this is their level of understanding God. All the big scholars must be PhDs, but cannot answer. Like once one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he wrote a letter to a professor asking him permission. He wanted to preach in a university, and the university was not giving him permission to address the students. So he wrote a letter to a professor that, okay, you recommend me. So professor wrote the reply in Sanskrit, very well knowing that the disciple couldn't answer. And just at that time, Prabhupada was there in the temple, and disciple showed the letter to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada immediately dictated a letter reply, but reply was in English, but with lot of Sanskrit verses. And he said, don't sign my name, but write your name. So the devotee signed, and then he said that we are not so learned in Sanskrit, that's why we are not replying, but this is the gist. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ji Ki Jai. And that was it. So, but we find that sometimes people who are illiterate, but if they have devotion to God, they can very easily perceive. Like, what to speak of past things, even now, if you go in ISKCON Belgaum temple, there is one devotee, he is blind. And he stays in temple. So I remember I was there in Belgaum, so early in the morning, around 2:33, I got up to answer nature's call. So the ashram is on the first floor, and on the ground floor, it's an open corridor, and he has a small place of staying over there. I'll describe what place he has. And I got up and there was pitch dark below. And I could hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So I was like wondering, who is this so attached to holy name? It was so dark, I was scared even to peep down. and then again I got up at around 3:40 and still it was dark by the time we had to get ready for Mangal Aarti. And I asked one devotee, like, who is this person chanting below? I mean, he can't see, there should be some light. So he said that whether it's darkness or light doesn't make any difference to him because he's blind. And I was like shocked. Then I said, you show me who he is. And early morning that devotee came and blissfully chanting, dancing, reciting all prayers, Mangal Aarti prayers, Tulsi Aarti, staying for Japa, then coming for Guru Puja, Darshan, staying for Bhagavatam class. And I was shocked. And he stays in the corridor below. And initially the temple gave him a hut to stay. But he made his own mosquito net, big tent. He sewed it with the used sacks of rice and dal. They are plastic. So he cut them and sewed him himself and made a tent. And I was shocked. I said, how can you do this? He said, Krishna helps me. And when Sunday feast cooking is there, he folds it nicely, stuck it up, and then again he opens it. And he's very sturdy. And there's so many mosquitoes there, but no mosquito bites him. And he's very special. So I asked him, like, don't you feel bad that you cannot see, take darshan? He said, no, I don't feel bad. Krishna is there in his holy name. And I chant. And he daily chants a minimum like 30 to 64 rounds. And before Mangal Aarti, temple Mangal Aarti, he sings his own Mangal Aarti, all prayers. Alone he will sing, alone he will clap, Hare Krishna, full. And then he will chant all the prayers. And in the evening, he will chant bhajans. And other time he would just keep on chanting on his beats. Just walk, chant. And I said, how long do you sleep? I said, I hardly get sleep, 2-3 hours. Rest of the time, I just chant and pray. So I was thinking, like, when people are there, big philosophers, writers, professors in the modern world, scientists, they cannot see God. And he is a person who doesn't have vision, but actually can see the hand of God in his life. The words, like the prayer, the songs which we read, they feel like very heavy for us. we are not able to penetrate their deep meaning. But Krishna has actually revealed their deeper meaning into his heart. And he can get a vision from his heart of the Supreme Lord. Whereas we people with eyes, actually, we can actually not see God without faith. So that is the power of the process of bhakti. And that is how Arjuna is telling here. So that's what Brahma Samhita also says, that Videshu Durlabham Adurlabha Atma Bhakto. From bhakta, for devotee, it is adurlabh. It is very easily seen. And here also he says, Gopinath Acharya, Ishwarera Kripalesha Nahikato Mate Ateva Ishratata Na Pare Janite. He said, Ishwar Kripa Lesh Nahikato Mate. Even Lesh Kripa also you don't have. That's why you cannot see God properly. You cannot recognize Lord Chaitanya. But later on is we see that how Sarvam Bhattacharya, he served Mahaprabhu. And actually by Mahaprabhu's mercy, he could recognize that he is Supreme Lord. And he surrendered to him. So, now we'll come to the text 15, because that is also very interesting. Translation. Indeed, you alone know yourself by your own internal potency, a supreme person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, gods of God, God of gods, Lord of the universe. Purport. The Supreme Lord Krishna can be known by persons who are in a relationship with him through the discharge of devotional service, like Arjun and his followers. So this is in continuation of the previous verse. Persons of demoniac or atheistic mentality cannot know Krishna. Mental speculation that leads one away from Supreme Lord is a serious sin, and one who does not know Krishna should not try to comment on Bhagavad Gita. So then we can see that somebody who says that I am actually atheist, it is just my way of thinking. But actually, if this person propagates his thinking by to other people, this is a sin, according to what Prabhupada writes here. Because he is indirectly leading, directly also leading people away from God. In fact, one devotee was telling me that in Tamil Nadu, some time back, it was a very religious biased place. But then one person, he came up and by his writing, he created doubt in the mind of people and made them atheistic. And now we see that so many other sub-religious, anti-religious things are going on in such states. Prabhupada also said that communists never came to India. Only through their literature they spread their atheistic propaganda, and it spread. So that's why it's so important for us to distribute Krishna conscious teachings and literature. And Bhagavad Gita is the statement of Krishna, and since it is the science of Krishna, it should be understood from Krishna as Arjuna understood it. It should not be received from atheistic persons. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yaj jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaneti shabdete. The supreme truth is realized in three aspects: as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and at last as the supreme personality of Godhead. So at the last stage of understanding the absolute truth, one comes to the supreme personality of Godhead. A common man or even a liberated man who has realized impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma may not understand God's personality. Such men, therefore, may endeavor to understand the Supreme Person from the verses of Bhagavad Gita, which are being spoken by this person, Krishna. Sometimes the impersonalists accept Krishna as Bhagwan, or they accept his authority. Yet many liberated persons cannot understand Krishna as Purushottam, the Supreme Person. So, next is the second part, which I'll read little time later. So here Prabhupada is describing the three levels of understanding of Supreme Lord. So mostly when people they accept that God exists, still they don't have any deeper idea about who is that God, whether he's some wind, whether he's some electric force, cloud of gas, person who can actually hear my prayers, or is like air everywhere but nowhere actually I can see. So these are different levels. Like first level is called Brahman. It is simply as a God who is present in everything. all the atoms, everything. That is a Brahman level, which is the most common even in other religions. Second, which is higher, is God in the heart, which is Paramatma. So this is the person who guides us, who speaks to us, who tells us what is right, what is wrong. And that is the object of meditation of yogis. Like they do various things of dhyan and then they try to talk to the Lord who is in the heart. And the Lord who is present in the spiritual world, that is Bhagwan. Actually Krishna, who is doing his pastimes with his friends, with his parents, relatives, gopis, all that. So that is the place where we actually want to go. Because if we go for Brahman, Brahman is basically light. We merge into light. There is nothing exciting. Just go and sleep. And Paramatma is also just one and one person and we. But Krishna, when we go to spiritual world, it's so exciting. I mean, Prabhupada says we should be attracted by reading about description of spiritual world. In 15th chapter it says. So that is the place we actually want to go and associate with Krishna. Now Prabhupada is describing these different words. Purushottam, Bhut Bhava and Bhutesh, Deva Deva, Jagatpate. Like what are the deeper meanings of these words? He says that many people may accept Krishna, but they cannot understand Krishna's Purushottam, the supreme person. Purushottam, the topmost person. Therefore, Arjuna addresses him Purushottam. Yet, one still may not understand that Krishna is the father of all living entities. So here, I'll just add some things, different verses. So Krishna also says in 14th chapter, 4th verse, Sarva yoneshu konte murtaya sambhavantiya tasa brahma mahat yodhi aham bija pratapida. That I am the seed giving father of all living entities. And it is described that matter is always existing. So how does matter transforms into life? So it is described that when Krishna, he looks at the matter through the looks, he impregnates spirit souls in the seed form into that matter. And from that matter, it combines together in different ways and life is originated. That is the Vedic understanding of origin of life. Otherwise, if we simply go for like how matter changes into life, it's very difficult. Cannot even be shown by laboratory. Like if I beat this board, it's not going to spring up and start fighting with me. Any other person will. So this is not living, but the other person is living. And soul is the difference. Then he says, and if one comes to know him as the father of all living entities, still one may not know him as the supreme controller. Therefore he is addressed here as Bhut Esh, the supreme controller of everyone. Bhut means all living entities, Esh means controller. And even if one knows Krishna as the supreme controller of all living entities, still one may not know that he is the origin of all demigods. Therefore, he is addressed here as Deva Deva. Because somebody may feel, okay, he is supreme controller, but I have worshipped somebody else. So he is saying he is father of all demigods also. The worshipful god of all demigods. And even if one knows him as the worshipful god of all demigods, one may not know that he is the supreme proprietor of everything. Therefore, he is called as Jagatpati. Thus the truth about Krishna is established in this verse by the realization of Arjun. And we should follow in the footsteps of Arjun to understand Krishna as he is. So just a little description I would like to give about these words. Like Bhutesh, he is calling the supreme controller. So Krishna also says, Bhumi rapo nalo vayu khammano buddhi revacha. That these different elements of the world creation, they are also controlled by Krishna. Like we have Bhumi, Earth. So as Lord Varadev, he lifted Mother Earth. As Krishna, he lifted Govardhan Hill on the left, little finger of left hand. Then we have water. As Lord Ram, he was trying to shoot arrow and then the sea separated. Trinavrat, he is the wind. Krishna controlled that also. When he was a small child and there was a big forest fire, he ingested that fire. So all elements, everything, even time he can control, sunset, sunrise. We know in the episode of Jayadrath, he stopped the sun, took it back. Like that, anything in the world, he can conquer death. The sons of his guru, they were in abode of Yamraj. He went there, retrieved them. Sons of his own mother, he got them back. So nothing is impossible. All elements are under his control. Nothing can function outside his will. And then he is also called Devadeva, source of all demigods. So we find that all the demigods, when Krishna was in womb of mother Devaki, all the demigods came into the prison of Kansa and they prayed to him, calling him Satyam Param Trisatyam, that you Satyavratam Satya Param Trisatyam, that he is the, nine times I use this word Satya Satya in that verse, saying that he is a person having the topmost vrat, and that's why he never deviates. He is present in creation, annihilation, maintenance of this creation, a world. Like this they pray. Even when Lord Chaitanya was in womb of Mother Sachi, the demigods would come into the house and Mother Sachi would feel that some ghosts are moving. She would see shadows, hear tinkling bells, but they would not create problems. Then he says that he is Jagatpati, the supreme proprietor. And also in previous verse, Arjuna addressed him as Keshav. So Prabhupada described that what does this Keshav means? K represents Brahmaji, Ish Shivji, and Va means one who binds both of them. So even when Brahma and Shiva, they cannot understand, because Brahma easily gets bewildered. We have this very nice Brahma Vimohan Leela in Krishna's pastime, where even Brahmaji becomes confused whether he is the Supreme Lord or he is just ordinary cohort boy. And he steals all the cohort boys and the cows, calves, and Krishna expands personally into all of them and maintains them for 1 year. And Shivji, when he sees a Mohini form, Mohini Murti, he just leaves Parvati and starts running. And Mohini Murti actually goes in the places where devotees of Shivji are meditating. And they see Shivji running behind a girl. And they are bewildered. So even great personalities are bewildered. So what to speak of ordinary people like us? Our only scope is that if we remain, receive this knowledge in parampara system, as Prabhupada is mentioning, and also serve in the devotional spirit, only then Krishna, who is very difficult to achieve and very difficult for other people, he becomes conquered by the devotion of his devotees and will very easily reveal to us. And that is our hope and that is our prayer. And by praying to Srila Prabhupada and his followers, if we continue, Prabhupada said, in this lifetime, we can see Krishna face to face. Thank you. Thank you very much. Any questions, comments? Jai Granth Sahib Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.